Happy holidays. It's a little early, but all right. So we're here on the Texans, but we've had just the three games against them, really in a pretty short amount of time. You know, from two at the end of last year, and then here we are. So, you know, going back and looking at those games and looking at the Texans this year, you know, really see a lot of similarities. There's a lot of the same players. They've obviously added a few players, a few young players, you know, a couple of veteran players too. But a very good football team, very talented team. Obviously, they're outstanding on defense, very disruptive front seven. I mean, it's not just Watt. You don't lead the league in defense. But just one player. I mean, he's certainly outstanding, but they have a good group of players. Good in the secondary. You know, offensively, you know, it's a very good offensive line. They do a good job with the running game like they always do. Good receivers. Getting some production at tight end. Good backs. Very athletic quarterback. You know, added Leckler. He's a big punter. Excellent returner in Martin. So a lot of good football players. Again, a team that looks very much like the team we saw last year in December and in January. I know the records are different, but when you look at the film, I see, you know, a very similar-looking team. So they've lost a couple tough, close games, which we've all been there before. But, you know, they're a player or two away from, you know, having a lot of wins. And so that's a team that we've got to be ready to play. Is, you know, a good football team, a team that's really been in every game here the last, you know, 5-6 weeks, whatever it is. And, you know, we have one on the road here in the last three outings, so we need to find a way to play better away from home, whatever that consists of. Better coaching, start with that, and obviously better playing.
Dark meat guy, white meat.
Whatever's on the plate. I haven't turned down a lot of food in my Thanksgiving lifetime. Whatever's on there. Make sure we leave room for pumpkin pie. We don't want to fill up on. I want to fill up on everything and not be able to eat that pie.
Bill, how did Dave Fletcher perform the other night in your estimation? And was that pretty much as long as part of the season?
No, I think he stepped in there and you know, did a good job. I mean, not certainly wasn't perfect. You know, it wasn't much it was perfect defensively, but, you know, he definitely stepped in and made some plays, thought he competed well. You know, we just have to do a better job overall defensively. But, you know, he and Jamie both, you know, had a number of plays on defense and, you know, also their role in the kicking game. So, you know, they really stepped up and, you know, made some solid contributions in those two phases of the game. Yeah, did a good job.
He hadn't played as much earlier in the year, just in terms of snaps. Is it, I won't say hard, but you always have to make sure that the guys maintain their focus and keep their attention, even if they're not getting 30, 40 plays in a game. Is it sure to make sure that these guys are within the circle?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's the way it always is. I mean, there's not really any. It might change from player to player, but, I mean, when you have a team, you know, like we do, 53 players, 46 active, you know, you go into every game with certain guys, the expectation of high play time, and other guys, you know, not as much, but we all know that could change on one play at any position at any time. So, you know, that's every player's job. We stress that on a weekly basis. Every player's job is to be ready to go. And it doesn't make any difference what, you know, what your role is, and obviously the most critical part of the game is the end of the game. Not to minimize any other part, but that's the most critical part. And so it could be the next to last play of the game. It could be the middle of the fourth quarter. It could be halftime. It could be whenever it is. But when that time comes, we're all counting on you. And that's their opportunity. And as we all know, if you take advantage of those opportunities, then usually more will come. And if you don't, then fewer will come or they'll get passed along to somebody else. But, you know, the whole linebacker thing, I mean, obviously changed when, you know, we lost Gerard. And, I mean, he was a guy who almost never came off the field. You know, now that where he would normally be sometimes is handled by one player or sometimes more than one.
Coach, there's been some, I guess, untimely third and longs given up by the defense a few times this year. At this point in the season, how big of a concern is that for you?
Third down you know, turnovers, third down, and red area are the three, you know, like I said, they're the three most important things. Any third and long is untimely that we give up. So there's no timely third and long conversions defensively, none. So, yeah, we got to do a better job on third down. We got to do a better job in the red area. On both sides of the ball, we got to do a better job with the turnovers. I mean, yep, there's no getting around those.
A couple of guys after the game talked about this past week, you guys simulating in practice, coming out of halftime, kind of jumping right into the third quarter. How does that work logistically?
Just like that. We can't simulate it, but, you know, we get part of the way through practice and stop and then finish the practice and, you know, kind of simulate the as much as we can, you know, that situation. You know, the focus, sometimes there's some, you know, play calling or adjustments that, you know, we might anticipate. Say, okay, we're going to, you know, probably think about using this more in the second half than in the first half. I mean, but that's not a big thing. There might be a couple things that fall into that category, but that's not, you know, a high percentage thing. But, you know, just the mentality and emphasis.
Did you see any of that pay off on Sunday?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it looked like it in the Miami game. Didn't look like it in the Pittsburgh game. So, I don't know.
Bill, Chandler Jones has had a QB hit almost every game, I think all but one. Is that reflective of a guy that's played pretty consistently in the second season?
Yeah, I think Chandler's played much more consistently this year than last year. Although, you know, I thought he did a lot of good things last year too. But his game has come up, and we've asked him to do more. He's taken on more responsibilities, played in different positions. But I think he's having a solid season. Comes to work every day. It's improved on a consistent basis. And like I said, we've asked him to do different things. He's worked hard at those, gotten better at them, and that's helped our team.
Has his role changed at all with some of the guys you lost up front? You mentioned Gerard, but Vince, I mean, has he taken more on his plate since then?
Every week, whatever we need to do defensively to win, that's what we do. So, I mean, I'm just saying that's the way it was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, 4 days ago. The way it'll be this week.
Even leadership-wise since those guys went?
I think he's done a good job. You know, of trying to, you know, step up, be more vocal. Without Vince in there, there's the communication, you know, has certainly fallen more on Rob and Chandler. But, you know, again, communication's it's an 11-man job. It's not just a one-man job, but they're a key part of it because of their experience and, their overall playing skill, but their level of experience of playing. I think this Chandler is certainly more capable and more ready to do it than he was last year, and we've needed him to do it. So,
how has he handled? You bounced a little between the 3-4, 4-3 fronts the last few weeks. How has he handled that on the outside?
Again, defensively, we certainly all do a better job, but we've been doing that all year, so I don't think that's any.
Bill, how has Alfonso Denner developed from last year to this year, and what does he bring to the secondary?
I think Zoe's developed quite a bit. I mean, you know, a big, gap for him was the amount of time that he missed in training camp in the early part of the season last year. So he started playing around midseason without kind of the build-up that, you know, you would like a player to have. This year that hasn't been the case at all. I mean, he had, you know, was out there a lot in training camp in the early season, and so he's had a much more consistent start to the season to develop his techniques, you know, and his timing, and, you know, his reaction and recognition. He's a physical player, plays the ball well. You know, he's a very competitive guy, and no matter what the situation is, he wants to get out there and, you know, battle that with the receivers. As does Akeem and Kyle. So it's, you know, it's good to have, you know, guys like that. They want the challenge. They want to get out there and be challenged in critical situations and respond to it and make the play. And he's got a lot of confidence. He's a key part of the secondary. Glad we have him.
Bill, as a football guy, can you just talk a little bit about the appreciation you have for the passion that this area shows on Thanksgiving Day with the high schools and everyone playing football?
Yeah, it's a great part of the the whole holiday and the whole weekend. And yeah, it's big in this area. You know, I grew up with that. Thanksgiving was always a big football weekend for me because our high school always had Thanksgiving Day game with a big rival, Annapolis Severn Park. I mean, that was a big one there. And then the Army-Navy game was always the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So, you know, growing up, you just, you know, that was like the key point in the year. And, you know, I coached Detroit for a couple of years and had the Thanksgiving Day game there. And you could really, you know, see what a, you know, what a big part of that community was, the big part of the community that Thanksgiving Day game was, and, you know, what it brought there. And then, you know, when I came to New England in 96, you know, Stephen played, you know, like Little League football. And then, of course, growing up here, you know, our kids play football and, you know, had those same, you know, kind of experiences on Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day games and that weekend and, you know, and all that. And so, you know, it's, man, it's, you know, a part of the New England culture, life, Massachusetts. And, you know, it's, I think it's good. You know, it's good for families. It's good for the excitement of the game. And, you know, it's good for the, you know, it's good for the sport. You know, it's kind of a good wholesome thing. Turkey dinner, football. It's a great holiday. I mean, gotta love Thanksgiving. Three games now instead of two. Got the big Nantucket Martha's Vineyard clash. I mean, that's always a monster game too. So yeah, follow.
How is it to finally get that day off, I guess, after the last couple of years?
How is it to
get the day off Thanksgiving the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, that's in the past. Our schedule this year, though, we're having to work through it. You know, I mean, last year was a working day. We played on Thanksgiving, so yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's always a good feeling to win on Thanksgiving. I mean, that makes the turkey taste better, and you know, everything's a little bit better. But you know, when you're not playing, you're working, and that's usually the case. You know, we've been had a lot more games after Thanksgiving than on Thanksgiving Day, and you know, it's certainly, you know, an important holiday for, you know, for Americans and for our society. But, you know, at the same time, we have a job to do. And, you know, part of it's a working day for us. So it's a working day. It's a family day. It's a team day. But, you know, it's definitely part working day, too.
This might have been overlooked because of the result. But the punt play in overtime, what role did Ryan's actual kick have in what ended up happening?
It wasn't overlooked. That's the most important part of the play. I mean, that is the play. You know, that was a big emphasis point was, you know, for Ryan, especially in those kind of conditions, with the wind, to get the ball up there, not so much for the wind to carry it, but to get the ball up there to make it hard to handle. And, you know, that's a tough ball when it's high. You know, people are around you. There's wind. It's knuckling a little bit. You know, it's cold, which, you know, a cold ball is a little bit harder to catch anyway. So just, you know, to make that as difficult, you know, as possible. And we got the play at the end of the half on another, you know, mishandled ball into the wind. But with the wind, you know, the hang time, the, you know, the difficulty of the catch is, you know, I mean, that's just what you try to do as a punt team is put, you know, pressure on the returner with your coverage, with your, you know, kicking, whether it's, you know, making a run for the ball or putting it up in the air. And you try to pressure that specialist. And, you know, I thought on the flip side of it, you know, Julian did an excellent job of handling those balls on our end, which, you know, they did the same thing. You know, they got them up there and there was some traffic and, you know, with the wind, against the wind, you know, inside the 10 or around the 10-yard line, you know, some tough judgment decisions. I mean, that's another one, too. You know, you're back there on the punt and it's high and the ball's drifting and, you know, I mean, that ball wasn't, but the whole idea of, you know, is it inside the 10? Is it outside the 10? You kind of lose track of it. You know, in a situation like that, it's a little bit harder to judge rather than just on a normal day where you can, you know, plant yourself somewhere and, you know, it's over your head, it's not over your head. Well, now it's, and then it starts drifting and, you know, then it just forces another, you know, part of the decision. So I wouldn't minimize that at all. It's the most important part of the whole play. I mean, if that ball wasn't, you know, as high and difficult to handle as it was, then it probably would have been caught.
To also note that there was a snap, I don't know if you could see it on the film that you looked at, but Danny Aikens, one of his punt snaps, probably moved about 18 to 20 18 to 20 inches.
Yeah,
it was on the way back, and also the field goal snap on the game where we had to move it. Are you learning a lot about his hands and athletic ability too, Ryan's?
Ryan's got good hands. Yeah, I don't think that's ever been an issue. I mean, he's got good hands. I'd say, you know, overall, for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part, you know, a lot of our punters here have had good hands. But again, it's kind of like throwing the ball in these conditions. You know, when you get into, you know, November, December, January, ball handling is crucial, you know, or could be. Not every day is like the Denver game, but, you know, ball handling is crucial. So, you know, there's nothing more important. I mean, this might sound stupid, but there's nothing more important for a punter than hands, because without good hands, handling the ball and being able to place and drop the ball properly on your foot, no matter how strong your leg is, you're not going to be able to punt consistently. So you can't really be a good punter, not a really good punter, if you don't have good hands. So the Dave Jennings and the Tom Tupas and, you know, guys like that that I've coached that were, you know, even Landetta, you know, those guys had really good hands, not only catching the ball and handling the snaps, but being able to place the ball properly on their foot so that they could have the contact that they needed to punt it. And I don't think, you know, when you're evaluating a punter, I mean, one thing you don't want really is a punter that doesn't have good hands, because, you know, it's just hard to punt the ball consistently, no matter how strong the guy's leg is, if he's not a smooth ball handler. Now, that also comes into play as a holder too, which, you know, that's, you know, something Ryan didn't do, but has done, and, you know, has done a good job of, but that's something that, you know, he's had to, you know, gain experience and learn to do, but I think he has the hands and the ball skills to do it. Punting is, you know, it's kind of like passing, you know, it's not like being on a pitcher's mound or out on the driving range and just teeing it up with, you know, nothing around you and throwing the fastball or, you know, teeing off whenever you feel like it. I mean, you gotta handle the ball, you gotta deal with the rush, and then, you know, there's a few punts where you're backed up, where you're looking for hang time and distance, but there's plenty of punts where that's not the case, where, you know, you're trying to kick the ball but not kick it into the end zone, or you're trying to kick the ball based on what tendencies they have on the return, maybe away from the return, or, you know, to where your gunner's singled, or, you know, whatever the strategy is. I mean, there's a lot of situational punting that comes up for the punter that, I mean, honestly, nobody ever talks about, but it's way more than 50% of the game. It's not just standing back there and, you know, hitting a ball and, you know, see how high and far you can hit it. I mean, those are, it's like drives. I mean, those are, you know, a few shots on a golf, you know, on a round of golf, but, you know, you're hitting a lot of other shots that aren't, you know, drives off the tee box, and that's, think that's what a punter's job is, but that's really a small percentage of it. That's what they would all like it to be, but that's really a small percentage of it. Hands are huge. And, you know, Jennings probably as good as anybody. Well, Tom Tupa, I couldn't. Jennings and Tupa as good as anybody.
Who's the guy who dropped it and missed it? It was a windy day. It might not have been.
That was Sean. Yeah. But he didn't.
It was just the wind.
He didn't drop the snap. I mean, the ball, right. But just, you know, I mean, in coaching, you know, Tom and Dave, you know, part of it's you have bad ball drills. You know, you throw them balls that they've got that are on the ground, that are left, right, you know, wobbly, whatever it is. And I mean, with those guys, as many balls as I threw them, you know, hundreds of balls, I mean, especially Jennings, thousands of balls. I mean, rare that he would ever miss one. You know, I mean, it's like watching a major league shortstop do infield. I mean, they just scoop it up and throw it and make the play. You know, it's a good punter handling those kind of balls is key. And then, of course, there's nothing more important to a punter than the snapper. You know, it's just so nice to get the ball, you know, right where you want it and just be right in your rhythm. But, you know, that doesn't always happen. One of the good things about being a snapper is when you're snapping, you know, with the wind. I mean, you think about punting against the wind, but when you're snapping, you think about snapping, you know, you don't mind punting into the wind because you're snapping with the wind. But when you're snapping against the wind, the punting part of it is, you know, a little bit, but, you know, the snapping, I mean, there's some wobble to the ball, and then, you know, that gets into a little bit of ball handling too.
Cecily's going to have fun with that part of the transfer.
The high school rival for Annapolis, we were talking about playing
Smyrna Park.
Yeah. what was it again?
Falcons. Saverna.
Saverna
Park. Yeah. Falcons, yeah. We were the Fighting Panthers. Annapolis High.
Fighting Panthers doing those games when we were down there.
You know, it was pretty competitive. Yeah, it was pretty competitive. Yeah. We got some, they got some. They got us my senior year, we got my junior year. But it was always, you know, one of those, you know, no field goals ever. So it would be like 19-13, or, you know, it's 50-50 on the extra points, or go for two, or, you know, so usually a touchdown with like a 1 or 2 point conversion messed up in the score there somewhere. So you never had like 21-14, 28-21. No, it's, you know, there was missed extra points. There's a 2 point conversion, you know. No field goals, no, you know, didn't forget about that. Back in the day of the straight on kickers and, you know, some, yeah, defensive end or, you know, whoever you had that was your kicker, and, you know, the ball would either go right through the uprights or over by the pylon, one or the other. All right, well, have a good holiday. All right, we'll see you Friday. All right.